Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's faithfulness. Since God is truth, He has no desire to break His promises. Since He is omnipotent, nothing can cause Him to break promises. Since His promises are based on His eternal plan, God will always keep them. Scripture called God a rock, a fortress, and a bulwark, never failing because He is faithful. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The question, why are young men not getting married? The answer provided by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. This is Wretched Radio. You will arrive at your destination, well, eventually, like Greyhound. So just sit back, relax, leave the historical driving to Nancy Piercy, reading a book called Total Truth, Liberating Christianity from Its Cultural Captivity. It's a number of years old. I had it on my shelf. I dug into it, and I'm digging her historical history of philosophy, religion, social movements throughout the ages. And by studying the romantic Jean-Jacques Rousseau, not only will we learn a lot about Western civilization, why we think the way that we do, why the world is going so bonkers, why we are so individualistic, why we are so about me and the therapeutic self and putting myself before all things and believing in myself and knowing that I can do anything that I put my mind to. All of that is courtesy of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, including why young men are not getting married these days. This is a question every pastor has pondered. What's up with the young men in our flock? They don't want to get married. We all used to want to get married. Why? Indeed, something has changed. And in order to answer that question, at least in part, sit back, relax, and leave the drive into Nancy Piercy. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, most of the ideologies that bloodied the 20th century were influenced by him. You hated World Wars I and II? You can thank, in part, Jean-Jacques Rousseau. His writings inspired Robespierre in the French Revolution, as well as Marx, Lenin, Mussolini, Hitler, and Mao. He's got quite a following of terrible human beings. Why? Because of his philosophy. Even Pol Pot, who massacred a quarter of the population in Cambodia, was educated in Paris and read Rousseau. So if you can get a grip on Rousseau's thinking, you have a key understanding to much of the modern world. Are you ready for the trip? Our destination will be an explanation why young men aren't getting married. What exactly was it that made his worldview so revolutionary? She asks. Rousseau said, the way to grasp the essence of human nature, to understand who we really are, our true selves, was to hypothesize what we would be like if we were stripped of all social relationships, morals, laws, customs, traditions, civilization itself. In other words, who would you be if you had nobody or no thing influencing you? That's the essence of you. And Rousseau wanted to get you there. How did he recommend doing that? Well, you just ignore all of social constructs. You get rid of your past and you just act any old way you feel like acting because that's the real you. That is Jean-Jacques Rousseau. He said, let's get rid of these things. This original pre-social condition, he called the state of nature. In it, all that exists are lone, disconnected, autonomous individuals whose sole motivating force is the desire for self-preservation, what Rousseau called self-love. Social relationships are not ultimately real. Instead, they are secondary or derivative created by individual choice. Now, this does not get to our question at hand yet, but the focus on individualism does. Historically, in our world, we've lived communally and familially. Rousseau wanted to break down those constructs and those systems so that you could be the real you, so that you could be your liberated true self. And his philosophy has caught on. And you'll see how it led people like Hitler and Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot to do atrocious things, but you'll also see how it's affected young men today, even in the church. What did that mean for Rousseau's view of society? If our true nature is to be an autonomous individuals, then society is contrary to our nature. Artificial, confining, oppressive. That's why his most influential work, The Social Contract. Ever heard that term before? It comes from Rousseau. Opens with this line. Man is born free, and everywhere he is in chains. He did not mean chains of political oppression, as we're inclined to think, but Rousseau, that really the really oppressive relationships were personal ones like marriage, family, church, and the workplace. Bad, 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 and bad. You are good. Rousseau proposed that individuals are the sole ultimate reality. He denounced civilization with its social conventions. Got rid of it all, artificial and oppressive. And what would liberate us from this oppression? The state, the government. This was radical. The state would destroy all social ties, releasing the individual from royalty to anything except itself. Rousseau spelled out his vision with startling clarity. Quote, each citizen would then be completely independent of all of his fellow men and absolutely dependent on the state. No wonder his philosophies were rather popular with statists like Mao and Pol Pot and Stalin. It is because they imbibed Rousseau, but they are not the only ones. The kids these days are too. We continue with our trip. Rousseau went further than Hobbes or Locke. In his statement of nature, in his state of nature rather, the individual is stripped not only of social ties, but of human nature itself. The earliest human is unformed, intermediate, nothing more than a beast, a gentle, peaceful, and happy beast, but a beast nonetheless. Thus, Rousseau's definition of human nature is paradoxically not to have a nature at all and to be free to create oneself. Humans have the distinctive ability to develop and transform themselves. The reason social relationships are oppressive is that they interpret with the individual's freedom to create himself. This drum is getting banged over and over again. Be yourself. Be yourself. You've got to be free to be yourself. Who's going to do that for you? The state is going to do that. With this concept, writes Piercy, of human nature, revolution in the modern sense becomes possible. Not just revolt against a political regime, but the attempt to destroy the entire social order and rebuild an ideal one from scratch, one that would transform human nature itself and create, quote, the new man. Aren't we seeing that today? That we need a revolution? Where does that ideology come from? Karl Marx. Who informed Karl Marx? Jean-Jacques Rousseau. The only social bond where individuals retain their pristine autonomy is the contract, the social contract. Because there the parties are free to choose for themselves how they wish to define the terms and the extent of their agreement. This perhaps, maybe, answers this conundrum. Why do women, feminists, who think that it's okay to be a prostitute, because it's their choice. That's what they believe. Hey, it's not. No. They're not being abused. They're not victims of anything. They're liberated and they are choosing prostitution. Therefore, it's good. Why? I would suggest to you it has some of its thinking based in Rousseau. That you, if you enter into the social contract based on the terms that you define, that it's a good contract because you get to be you. The terms are not preset by God, church, community, or moral tradition, but are strictly voluntary. So Rousseau and Hobbes and Locke all called for a state based on a social contract, all social ties dissolved, and then reconstituted as contracts based on individual choice. This is liberating the individual from the oppression of convention, tradition, class, and the dead hand of the past. Are we seeing any Rousseau today? You bet we are. I was listening to the Spotify machine. Probably don't need to tell you this, but I go to the gym, and I was listening to the Spotify, and an ad came on for, I think it was called G-Cab, I think. Don't look for it. I think that's right, but I don't want you to stumble into something nasty. And this nice woman said, and we want to help you, parents, when you have the talk. And we want to help your teens to reach their full potential. We have resources for you at blahblah.org. I went to that website. Are you kidding me? It's all about empowering teens to be able to have sex as they see fit. And they provide link after link with resource after resource of clinics that you can go to where they won't tell your parents. That is romantic. That is all about self, not family, not that construct, not that unit. That's dead history. You need to be liberated to be your true self. You don't need your parents. You need our resources, and we'll provide them for you. What is that? Where does this come from? We breathe social air. And it's not just the world who has philosophies, but these philosophies get into the nostrils of the Christian. And this philosophy of Rousseau has been imbibed by way too many young men who are now determined, based on Rousseau, cognitively or not, consciously or not, to not get married. Why? Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. You know, the one with all of those people who either have everything or return everything. Well, from now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Here's what makes this better than another ugly Christmas sweater. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. It's giving the gift of biblical wisdom. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75, because between untangling Christmas lights and dodging invites to your office Christmas party, you've already got enough stress this time of year. Listen, you could waste your Christmas budget on another gadget that'll be obsolete by Valentine's Day, or you could give something that's been relevant for about 2,000 years. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work, and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, you want to hear something crazy? There is someone out there who wants to match your generosity dollar for dollar. Fortis Institute has received a $500,000 matching grant. That means every gift you give between now and December the 31st, it gets doubled. Let me break it down for you. If you give $75, it becomes $150. You send $300, it turns to $600. And if you're feeling ambitious, you make a $1,000 donation to Fortis Institute, suddenly you're making a $2,000 impact. It's like a buy one, get one deal, but instead of you getting another sweater you don't need, you help strengthen churches and equip believers with solid biblical teaching. And I know what you're thinking. What's the catch? Well, there are two. First, this offer ends December the 31st. Second, actually, that's it. That's the only catch. No hidden fees, no processing and handling. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, and watch your gift do double duty, because in a world where everything seems to cost twice as much, isn't it nice to have something worth twice as much instead? FortisInstitute.org.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The kids these days, they're so romantic and so not romantic. This is Wretched Radio. If you're not familiar with the philosophy of Romanticism, you would do well to understand from whence it came, what it teaches, and how it has trickled down throughout the centuries into Western civilization. Specifically, if you've scratched your head pondering, why aren't the young people getting married? Why are young men just not pursuing it rapidly? There are many reasons for that. But Nancy Piercy, in a book called Total Truth, recalling the philosophical history of Western civilization, helps us to understand why are young Christian men seeing marriage not as an institution that is good, that should be desired, but they see it as something risky and scary. Nancy Piercy is going to take us to that destination to answer the question, why aren't young people getting married, by studying Jean-Jacques Rousseau. You hear his thinking everywhere. He's influenced every wicked human being who's ever slaughtered other peoples. But he's also filtered his way down into commercials. Just do it. Believe in yourself. You've got this. You be you. What is that? That's Jean-Jacques Rousseau, being your true self. And this concept, it smells everywhere in our society. Children are encouraged to cast off parents, and parents are told to mind their own business so that their kids can be their little autonomous selves. Kids are told that they're wonderful, they can do anything that they want to. Set your mind to it, you can do it, because you, the individual, are amazing. We're not teaching history in schools anymore. Why? Because, well, that connects you to a bigger past and a bigger group of people. And Romanticism says, Instead, you need to be you. You need to figure out who your true self is and then live it. And too bad what society says, you be you. That's Romanticism. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. That philosophy that was really concocted by Rousseau led to the conclusion that state and statism will help us to accomplish our own self-liberation. That's what he taught. How did he get there? Let me take you back to Nancy Piercy in Total Truth. She writes, "It may seem paradoxical that a philosophy of radical individualism would lead to radical statism," which is what we're seeing these days, even in the Democratic Party, aren't we? More government, more government. The government's your friend. The government's going to keep you safe. The government protects you. The government's going to help with your transportation. The government is going to help to make sure the planet doesn't fall in on itself and you can live. That's what we're seeing. Radical statism. But a woman named Hannah Arendt, or Arndt, points out in The Origins of Totalitarianism, disconnected, isolated individuals are actually the most vulnerable to totalitarian control because they have no competing identity or loyalties. Oh, that's how it happens. Strip somebody of family. Be the self. Just your share, just your first name. You have no history. You have no tradition. There, you'd learn nothing in school about the American, learn nothing about the founding fathers, nothing about the pilgrims. It's just you. You're the Marlboro man riding alone on the range. You are really vulnerable. That happens to have some application for your membership in a local church, by the way. Back to Nancy Piercy. That's why one of the best ways to protect individual rights is by protecting the rights of groups such as families, churches, schools, businesses, and voluntary associations. Track with her. Strong, independent social groupings actually help to limit the state because each claims a sphere of responsibility and jurisdiction, thus preventing the state from controlling every aspect of life. That's why it's good that we all have freedom of religion and freedom of speech as a society. because it helps the individual. If we're all just individuals, then somebody is going to step in and fill the void, hence statism. Unfortunately, most Americans' political thought, both liberal and conservative, continues to rest on the atomistic view that society is made up of autonomous individuals. This is the difference between how you see yourself. Am I an individual or am I a part of something else? Obviously, for the Christian, it would be more than just I'm a part of America or my neighbor. I'm a part of Christ. And yet, how many Christians feel like they are a lone ranger? They don't need the church. They don't need to be a member. They do it online. That's a dangerous place. Back to Piercy. The assumption of autonomous individualism is a central factor in the breakdown of American society today. Take public policy. Please! In Democracy's Discontent, Michael Sandel says the background belief of modern liberalism is the concept of the unencumbered self, by which he means, quote, unencumbered by moral or civic ties that they have not chosen. In liberalism, the individual exists prior to its membership in moral communities such as marriage, family, church, and polity. The self is even prior to any definition of its own nature. Thus, for liberalism, the core of our personhood is our ability to choose our own identity to create ourselves. Now we're getting there to answer the question, why aren't young people getting married? This is why relationships and responsibilities are often considered separate from and even contradictory to our essential identity. Why individuals often feel that they need to break free from their social roles as husband, wife, parent in order to find the true self. It is a Rousseau redux. And that ideology has been imbibed by young Christians. If you recall, our destination was answering the question, why aren't young people getting married? Again, many reasons. This is one from Nancy Piercy. Ideas like these do not remain purely abstract and academic. This is why we study philosophy. I think one of the differences of opinion that I would have with Nancy Piercy, and it's certainly secondary, she's really good, is that she would say we study philosophy and history because we should be intellectuals. And I agree we should. But I want to study philosophy not so I can learn more about my Christian faith, but so I can understand how the world is thinking so wrongly, to be able to then apply scripture to their bad thinking. That's why I think we should be studying philosophy, because otherwise, quite honestly, it'll just make your head explode. People filter down from professors to their students, who may well put them into practice. For example, with marriage reduced to sheer choice, many students are deciding that saying I do has become too risky, that it's not worth the trade-off involved in giving up their autonomy. Oh, is that why young people don't want to get married? There's a risk here. Myself might suffer. We've seen marriages break up. People lose their houses. The kids are divided. I want me to be happy. I don't want to go through that. I think it's too risky. I'm going to wait. I've heard this expressed. This is not uncommon for young Christian men. They actually feel that getting married is fraught with dangers. Could it be? It's because they have become so autonomous and they are not a part of something bigger. They're not connected to family. They're not connected to any institutions. They're not connected to the church. They're not connected to their country. They're not connected to culture and society. A study from the National Marriage Project at Rutgers found that today's young people view marriage as a form of economic exposure and risk, largely due to the prevalence of divorce. This is the deadly fruit of the atomistic view of society. Instead of being reverenced as a social good, marriage is now feared as an economic risk. Quote, today's singles mating culture is not oriented to marriage, the study from Rutgers says. Instead, it is best described as a low-commitment culture of sex without strings, relationships without rings. Clearly, the ontological individualism of Hobbes, Locke, and Jean-Jacques Rousseau remains at the heart of America's social and political, and I would add marriage crisis. Have you been goading your young person to get married? Come on, get married. What's up with you? What's up with you? And they just won't. I don't want to. I haven't found anybody. It's too risky. I just don't trust that this is a good thing. We need to be lifting up marriage as a good, not just for them, but for the world. Marriage is good because it's God's institution, and rightly instituted, it affects everybody and everything. Then getting married is about more than self. It is about doing good for families, for my neighborhood, for my country, and for my local church. And as evangelicals, we need to be raising up the blessings of marriage, and that it is ultimately theological. It is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. The man plays the role of Jesus. The woman plays the role of the church. It is a glorious picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's more than an economic gamble. It's God's institution, and it is good. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.